Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Miss Judy Gold.
Laser, what?
We're moving.
I can't take this show anymore, people.
Kill you.
Can we talk? Can we just talk about
moving downtown?
Did I start the show? It's my show. You don't get to talk first.
Oh, you were looking right at me.
I wasn't. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very excited. I've been trying to get this woman on this fucking show for a very long time. Let me just say, I'm going to open with the kill me now moment. I got no fucking sleep last night, the night before, and the night before. And I'm doing all this shit like I'm not looking at my phone. All right, I did look at my phone a little bit because I was reading an article. Okay, I have my book in my bed. Like, I have my book and my reading glasses, right?
Okay.
So, like, I'm trying to really do the no electronics, go to bed. And then I had to teach class this morning. I can't take it. There's no sleeping. And then I woke up screaming and crying.
I think that's an uncomfortable period that you have to go through because that's what, like, relearning a habit is. I'm learning about relearning habits right now.
You know what? I'm older than you. You don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
You definitely know more than me.
I can't take it. I just can't. Function on no sleep. I cannot function on no fucking sleep. Anyway, I've had no sleep, but I'm so excited.
You seem to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, because I swear to God, only because I saw this person's face. Yeah. Otherwise, I was a miserable piece of shit. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is the one, the only, Yamaneika Saunders!
Yes! Yes.
That's right, you motherfucker, Yamaneika, yes. I've been trying to fucking get you on.
And you know, here's the thing. You know, every time something comes up, because I'm no millionaire in this business, I have to hustle like a prostitute.
Hello.
And I have to say yes to whatever. But the funniest thing I'll ever say about us trying to connect on this is Judy tried to book me again. Mm-hmm. And I said, Judy, my grandmother died. And Judy said, when can you come in? When can you come in?
I said, no, I didn't.
I said, Judy, my grandmother died the next day. Like, so next week?
No, you do say funny shit like that when people die.
Right. But then what did I say?
You were very sweet. Yeah. You okay. But let me have my moment.
Shit. No, but I
let
said.
What the moment you had? You had a Me Too moment you came in with?
I'm getting my phone.
Don't tell me you saved text messages. My grandmother died a month and a half ago.
Ready? I'm just going to go on our little. Okay, ready? Here's the thing. I'm going to read you, everyone.
And don't skip past the good stuff.
Yamanika. Okay, ready?
Yeah. And I'm very loving when I text.
Okay, listen to this. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Can you do the 24th? This was in October.
Yeah.
This is on October 15th. No response.
My grandmother.
I'm doing me and you. Monday, October 16th. I will not be ignored. Then, sorry, my grandma died 2 days ago and I've been inundated with texts.
Yes.
I'm not sure about 24th yet. Not sure how I will feel. I'm experiencing some depression. Depressing lows at times. My grandma raised me like she was my mom. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Want to hear my response? I am so sorry. I know how you feel. I lost my mom 2 years ago. If you ever need to talk, I'm here. Seriously, I suffer from depression. I've experienced lots of loss. XOXOX, you'll be okay. Promise.
How about the 29th?
No!
What was the next thing you said after that?
And then you said, thank you. I probably will take you up on that offer. I'm so sorry about your mom. I'm sending you so much love right now. And yes. I wrote, your grandma will always be with you. And you wrote, I pray. And I wrote, you will get signs. And you wrote XOOX. Okay? And then 2 weeks later, I wrote, I'm checking in. And are you around next week?
I want to know what the date is that's 2 weeks. How did you calculate
Wednesday, November 1st. Okay. So you have selective memory, Yamanika. Okay?
Is this what you do? You bring your guest on here?
No.
To diminish the integrity with your audience?
No, I'm just letting you know. I don't want them to think I'm like an unfeeling.
No. I think you have a lot of... I think you feel the most.
Yeah. No, please. It's sad.
I think you're like skin off, just hitting open wounds.
Raw nerve. How are you doing, though, since your grandmother died?
You know, I'm waiting for a crazy moment to happen because I didn't have a crazy moment. When my mother called me and said that she had passed, I was finishing up taping a show that is airing on VH1, hopefully in January. I can't tell you about it because they haven't put out the freaking commercials.
Right.
But I was like, this could not have come at the worst time because how can I work? I had to get up at, I had a 5:30 call and I had to get up at 4. And I told my mother about that. So when she called me at 3:59, I was like, first of all, you get up, you get mad because you're like, damn, I had one more minute.
One fucking minute.
Right. I'm like, is she? And she, and I'm
she mama, in the morning?
Yeah,
she called you at 3:59.
And I thought she was calling me to like,
wait, say,
it was either 3:59 or 4:59, right. But it was one like on the 59.
Right.
And I was like, what? I'm like, Ma. And the first thing I said, Ma, I'm up. I'm like, I got it. I was trying to have this minute to myself. And then she didn't, normally my mother and I fuss, right?
Right.
I know you got it. Well, you get up. I'm going to call you again. And she wasn't fussing. She didn't fuss like that. And it was, I was like, hello, Mom. And then she said, Grandma's gone.
Oh. And then it hits you like a fucking
and
ton
then
of bricks.
I screamed so loud.
Right.
And
were you expecting it?
She was in the hospital for 4 months. Prior to that,
right, for
she,
what
she wasn't active for almost 4 months.
Right.
She had gone into a coma. My grandmother had strokes, which I think people should really investigate. You cannot, you have to go have somebody look at you to determine you've had mini strokes.
So
my grandmother had six, seven mini strokes.
Right.
Then it starts to deteriorate the brain. And, you know, we started noticing that she wasn't connecting with certain things. And then she went into the hospital. They said she had pneumonia.
Right.
And she was already wheelchair bound from a hip thing.
Right.
She had had brain surgery months before that. And, she never got out of the hospital. They had to put her on a breathing tube. She hadn't eaten the whole time, and we were very concerned about that. They had to feed her through a tube, and then she had a feeding tube. They put the trach in, they put a stomach tube, and it was like, you know, and I was, every time I had a break, and I didn't have any breaks, I would be canceling stuff, and I would go to Maryland, and they moved her to D.C. I'm not D.C., to Delaware. And I would, I mean, maybe $10,000 almost in rental cars and keeping them for 5 days and canceling stuff, and I can't, and sleeping in a hospital with her. Not, I know how to navigate in a bathroom and brush my teeth and pull my hair up and not touch the floor somehow and not get my clothes because I did that for a long time, and she wasn't there, and you know, I would, you know, massage her and touch her. And then it got to the point where we had to like put on things. We couldn't touch her because we didn't want us to get her contaminated and vice versa. So it was a lot of like, maybe her eyes looked up, maybe, you know, and then I was
I have to tell you, my father was in a coma. They totally know you're there. They totally, absolutely. Because my father was in a coma for, he had a massive heart attack, and then they revived him at the pool he was swimming. And then my sister would not go in the room because it's all about her. And no, she wouldn't go in the room because of the sound of the machine, of the life support machine.
Yes.
But like, was like, I can't. She was like, I can't. And then finally they unplugged him, and I was like, Jane. And he was supposed to die within 20 minutes. And it took 23 hours. And he didn't die until she came back in the room.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, we were all there when he took his last breath. But definitely they know. They can so hear you.
Yeah.
That's, so you had those 4 months.
Yeah, I had. I felt that she was connecting with me. And she, my grandmother, like, you know, not to discount my mother, and this is what I even said at my grandmother's funeral. My mother was obviously my mother, and I love my mother. My mother and I are very close. But my grandmother was like
your mother.
My mother, too. So I had two mothers, right?
So and you're a child of lesbians.
pretty much.
Dominica has two mommies.
But,
no, because then that goes into incest.
Right.
Shut
up.
Yeah. No, I'm just carrying it on.
Why are you picking your face again?
I am actually breaking out a lot more.
All right, whatever. Go.
You should be sponsored by Proactive at this point.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm all about getting the money.
Yeah.
I said, you know what I said? I said I was born and raised in Maryland, so I have a little bit of Jewish in me, and I'm always clocking that coin.
And what about the burger cookies? Oh. What about the burger cookies?
What is this,
cookies?
A Jewish button?
Yeah, Jew Bell. What about the...
What?
Yeah, anything remotely Jewish, we bring the bell. What about the burger cookies?
What burger cookies?
The burger cookies, they're only in Maryland. They're in Baltimore. They're these fucking cookies that are like so good. It's like cake and then like fudge on top. It's so fucking, I'm getting you a burger cookie.
I'm born and raised in Maryland, never heard burger cookie.
Oh my God, it's like a big,
I should text my, I have to ask my mother would
ask
know.
Ask your mother.
You probably
mother
call them something else. Like,
Jew,
you know,
cookies.
Doodle fruits.
Well, you know, we
something
have a thing. There's a couple of things that go on in Maryland that are very racist that people don't know. Like
what?
Polack Johnny's.
Oh,
is that
that's
a place?
Old school. That is old school.
That's the hot dog spot. We always go to Polack Johnny's.
Oh, my God.
Is that the name of it?
Polack Johnny's, yeah. That's the name of it.
Hey, let's go down to Polack Johnny's.
Well, first of all, Polish people are not into hot dogs. What the fuck
they're
is that?
They're into sausage.
They're into sausage. Yeah, it's a sausage. Like
oh, all right. It's like kielbasa.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Polack Johnny's.
Let me just say this, because I want to close this part up, and then we can get into happier times. When I went to my grandmother's funeral, and I told my grandmother and my grandfather, I said, I cannot see you. I'm not going to be able to view you in these casket situations. And my grandmother was a big fan of funerals.
Right.
She would take
like
pictures.
Like what she like about them.
And she'd take pictures of the people in the caskets and keep them and all this other stuff. Yeah. It was like crazy.
Collect
obituaries. Right. Like, you know, people collect sports cards and stuff like that. Baseball cards. She's trading obituaries.
That's
well, this Miss Pearl, and she, now look at all the casket. It was so nice. Was pink, and I said, where'd they get the line in that? My grandmother's the person that would have been at a funeral and be digging all into the casket. Like, what kind of material? Who did this funeral? You got a business card? Give me one of them fans. You know, like, that's how she was and moving people around. Like, there's been funerals where they were like, please don't touch the box. Because she's like moving pearls around and straightening
hair. Name?
Charlena. Yeah.
Keep Charlena away from the body, please. Charlena.
Well, here's her name. Her name is Charlena. It's really Charlena, but people called her Charlene, because they didn't know, because her father's name is Charlie, so it's Charlena.
So she was named Charlena.
Yeah, but people always said Charlena
over the body
Charlene.
Right.
But yeah, but we started calling her Pastor because my grandmother.
I can't wait to get to that.
Pastor, we call her Pastor and all of that. And so, which was very confusing in the hospital, because when they would try to get, they would constantly, and I've gotten into so many fights in that hospital. I'm telling you right now, I was on top of them like a werewolf, and they would be pinching her. I was like, stop doing that to her. Let me get her. I'll try to get her. And they'd be, you know, they bang hard because they're trying, you know, they would put her under so much
that they
would try to, they would be pounding on her to get her out. And it's like, that's the worst thing. And they don't have any care, which is why I was like, God bless my mother. My mother is taking care of my aunt. My grandmother had German measles when she was carrying her. My aunt has hearing impairment and disabilities and all this stuff. And she, but very blessed and, you know, but she needs care. My father, my grandfather's in a wheelchair. No, she's never been able to live on her own. Like,
sucks.
We have to take care. And my mother's taking care of all of this, going up to the hospital, which is why it was so important for me to go there and relieve her. And so when I'm there, I'm like, I will knock you out.
Right.
Because they're only, and I want to say this to your listeners, be very careful when you have your family in the hospital. Don't let them bully you and make you feel like, because they would come in. My grandmother was so thin by the time everything was happening, they couldn't get any blood from her.
Right.
And they're only supposed to go in and try two times.
Right.
And what they were doing on us, and they thought I didn't know it, is one person would come in to get the blood, and then they couldn't get, and they would double up and go, oh, you're getting blood? Well, let me try. And I'm like, no. And I said, get the head nurse in here, because is it two times per whoever comes in, or is it two times for this
total
period of time so that you're not beating her down and all this other stuff and plugging her and this and that?
And what they say?
They corrected it, because they were like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, because I'm watching you.
You fucking assholes.
It's scary to that I don't have any kids and I'm not married, because I'm like, when I get in that position, who's going to be my advocate? We were my grandmother's advocate, you know?
And well, I have my best friend Bob has ALS, you know, he's Lou Gehrig's disease, and he's in a bed and he can't talk, he can't move. And I'm in there, I'm always saying shit. I go down there all the time, you know.
You have to. You have to let them know that somebody's there.
You're not fucking, you know, just because he can't say, you're not fucking treating him like shit, you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm ever in the hospital, I'm inviting both of you.
Oh, you got to get me down there for sure. For sure. I never got to see my grandmother laid out. I didn't want to see her.
Yeah.
Do you know that's a Jewish thing?
But here's the thing. You guys put your babies in real quick. The bodies go in real quick.
Well, you're supposed to remember them as they were when they are alive.
Right.
So you're supposed to do it within 24 hours, but they don't.
My grandmother did a tour. Do you understand? She did a tour.
She did a
She did a tour.
Did she plan her own funeral?
Well, no. It was like when she passed and everybody's like, well, we got to make the schedule for this and we got to get here for that and this and that. My grandmother was in there. I was like, she's going to be a popsicle. It's like for 2 weeks now and we trying to do it. And it was
how long did it take?
It was like my mother wanted it to be nice. And I think family didn't understand. We wanted it to be nice for her. My grandmother was a beautiful woman. She was very particular about her look, and she always said, keep yourself together. We didn't want to just throw her out there anything, and she had already been sick. And my mother said she looked very beautiful. I went to go in to the wake, they had a wake before the funeral, and I went to go in, and I when I tell you it was like a cartoon, I beelined so fast. People are like, what happened to Yamanika? I was like, I had a panic attack like you never, because I was like, I don't want to see her and it was like, but that was the thing I kept saying, I don't need to see her. And you know, but black families, it's like,
oh, I know,
look
the
at
drama.
The pit, pull them up and dig them up and take pictures and this and that and let's play cards and listen. And I'm like, you know, but so when they closed the casket, I walked up and I'm normally finicky around caskets and stuff like that. I just remember laying on the casket and hugging it and kidding, and my lipstick mark was still on the casket, and just like feeling like, I'm not afraid of my grandmother, I just don't want to see her, like I don't want to remember her like that,
right?
Because she was so alive.
But see, that's what the Jews do.
Yeah,
because you don't want that to be the last.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
I told my grandmother, because she's Catholic, so they do open caskets also, and she's still alive, and I straight up told her, I'm not coming to the open casket.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's cool, some people want to see it though. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. She's like, okay, whatever. It's like, okay.
Yeah, she's I'll like, be, bitch, I'll don't be outside. Me, don't put me in the ground already now. Like, yeah. Do whatever you want. I ain't going to be there.
She was the one talking about it. She's kind of obsessed with death like yours.
Well,
was
you
too.
Know, if you don't if experience a black funeral before anything goes down to see how you can tell it. I mean, and the thing about my grandmother's funeral, people know that I'm on TV and stuff. Mm. I think they were auditioning for me. It was almost like America's Last Dance.
Oh, right.
Wow. I was like one of the ministers, because she was also a minister at the church that they brought her back to. And, they got to, one of the ministers got to singing so hard. And I said, "Who do you think I'm Simon Cowell?" Like, I mean, he got, took the mic off and went through the crowd. So when I spoke.
Did they do that normally?
Well, you know, when people start to get jazzed, start to feel the holy ghost, they start dancing around and prancing around. And so I said, I said, give me a cordless mic too. I said, this is my grandma's funeral. Give me a cordless mic. Because I'm a dance and prance around too, motherfucker.
Right.
You ain't the only one dancing and prancing around.
That's right.
It's so great.
You know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
And I dance and I prance around. I said, I'm also, because what pissed me off about my grandma's funeral is people were standing behind this big portrait of her and nobody could see him this way. I was like, just to let you guys know, staging, it's behind the cat. And it was a fun, funny, people told beautiful stories. My grandma was so loving.
Yeah.
She would give her last dime. She had just turned 80.
Aww,
she would give her last dime. She donated to this and that. She's the only person I know would donate all bags and bags of clothes to Salvation Army and then turn around and go buy them all back because she was addicted to the Salvation Army in the dollar store.
Salvation Army anti-gay.
Okay. Are they?
Yes. Yeah. Very bad.
They don't hire any homos.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So sad when they're
like... Let's get
into it. Fucking assholes. Anyway. Yamanika, nika, nika, as we gaily walk along and sing this happy song. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah!
Hey!
Hey, everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it. And so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out. And what does that mean? Summer. Oh, God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them, and they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
All right. So you were born, you grew up in Maryland.
Yes.
Where in Maryland?
I was born in Baltimore, Maryland.
Can't believe you don't know the burger cookie.
I don't know the burger cookie. Maybe we call it something else.
I'm going to show it to you.
Show it to me.
Go ahead.
I was born in Baltimore, Maryland at Bon Secours Hospital.
Yes.
November 3rd.
Oh, I'm a Scorpio?
Yes, I know this about you, right, so you don't even...
Do you know how much sleep I had? Go fuck yourself. No. Go ahead. November 3rd.
Born November 3rd, and I was born in Baltimore, and then I was raised in Aberdeen, Maryland, right behind Aberdeen Proving Ground.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is.
So, you know, it's getting a little hippie now, right. You know, but it was dead there. Like, right. There was nothing going on but the rent. Right. And I went to school in Dublin, Maryland. I always went to either parochial or private school. And I moved to Los Angeles.
I know. What is that? That you went to? Were the public schools shitty?
You know, I know it's people don't understand. When they had upper middle class, I grew up in an upper middle class black community. Right. And I mean, that's what it was. The public schools were fine, but you know.
Now, I know I grew up in the 60s and so I went to college in 1980. But. The upper class, middle class, black communities were all black. You know, it was so segregated, even when you had education and money.
Yeah.
Was that the way it was with you guys?
I know the school. I my schooling was entirely
because
white.
You were the only black person in your school.
Yes.
But where you lived, was it all, where you did you live with?
No, it was pretty mixed. I didn't really experience the context of race and racism until I stepped outside of my family bonds. We never lived like black or white or anything like that. We lived like fun people that were like getting down with anybody and having a good time.
That sounds great.
My first real racist experience was when I was six years old, and my grandmother used to give me money when we go shopping so I could feel like I was doing my own little shopping and stuff, and we had a little joint checking account, so I was writing checks at six.
Oh, I love her.
And so my grandmother had given me some money from our account to go get an ice cream cone while she did some shopping down in the little mall. And this is when you could let kids go and do
bicycle outside.
You know, you give a kid, 6-year-old kid, $20, they in Mexico gambling or selling their body parts.
Right.
But she had given me money to go get an ice cream cone, and I remember I went in, and there was a, it's funny enough, it was a Korean lady at the ice cream shop that I used to go to with my family. It's my first time going by myself, so I was so excited. I had my little purse, and I was very girly and dainty as a little girl, you know, just skipping around and very, like, very mature.
Right.
And I sat there, and this lady just kept doing her business. And then a young white couple had come in behind, and she waited on them. And I remember.
Not you.
Not me. But I didn't even know, you know, I just knew she wasn't waiting on me, but I just thought, you know, I grew up to be very respectful of adults too, so it wasn't like hello, you know.
Yeah,
I just
that's
waited
how I grew up too.
For her to acknowledge me, and the wife said, oh no, I think this little girl is
in front
and
is in front
of us. And the woman says, no, she has no money. No, like that. And I remember going, I have money. Sometimes I don't like to tell it because, like, I get so emotional about it because I remember how I felt.
Right.
That was my first time experiencing that. And I said, I remember just being so young and going, I have money. And
oh, God.
When they, and it was that young white couple was like, no, you're going to give her ice cream cone. Right. And I remember they said, tell her what you want. And they wouldn't let me pay for it. And they paid
they
for
paid
it.
They paid for it?
They paid for it. And they walked me over to my grandmother, and they said, you know, we just wanted to let you know we got her ice cream and just want to make sure she got back to you. And they didn't say anything to my grandmother about, you know, the thing. And it wasn't until I was so embarrassed to tell my grandmother because I still thought I had done something wrong. And it was it was very weird. And then I finally went to an all white school, and then it stepped up so high that I was like, oh, that ice cream shit was easy.
Yeah, right.
The ice cream thing
when
was
did you
easy.
When did you end up telling your grandmother?
Maybe 2 years later, two or three, because it came up in a car, like, you know how sometimes you don't remember, you don't tell people things, and then you kind of go, because she was a part of when all that, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember when, and she's like, what? And I'm like, know, that's when, and she says, well, why didn't you say something to me? And I just.
That's pretty smart for a 6-year-old to not say something.
I was very advanced. The thing is, I didn't speak the first couple of years I was on this earth.
But there's a lot of geniuses
and
like that.
Yeah, I just didn't. They thought something was wrong
and
with me, and I was very, very selective.
Right.
I was very selective about people. I was very in tune to people, and I would. I used to do this thing where if I didn't like someone that was talking to my grandparents or my mother, I would just incorporate myself and stare at them, and they had to start. they had to start telling me not to do that. Like right. I would just try to shut that person down.
Right.
And it was just always the way that I was. But I'm very in tuned when I meet people, and I don't know if it's a Scorpio thing or not, but like I either like you and I don't, and I can't explain why I like you or I don't.
And you can't hide it.
That's the hardest thing.
Yeah. It's like my face fucking tells it all. It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's horrible because, you know, whatever. Okay. Mm. So your mother was like an audio visual engineer. Yeah. Like, so when you were in Maryland, did she work on TV shows and shit?
She worked. So when my mother stopped college to have me, she had a whirlwind romance with my father.
Where did she go to college?
Towson State.
Nice.
And she tried to get me to go to Towson State.
And you were like, go fuck yourself?
And I was like, if I step foot back in Maryland, it'll never happen. Yeah. And then I wound up having to step foot back in Maryland.
Wait. Show her the burger cookie.
Okay.
Let me see.
B-E-R-G-E-R.
Oh, yeah.
What do people from Maryland call them?
We don't have a name for them, but we eat these all the time.
They look like a black fucking, and white cookie.
Yeah, but they're not.
But it's a spongy kind of.
No, this is cakier.
That's why what do you think a sponge is?
Shut the fuck up.
What the fuck you think a
what
sponge
are you
is?
Fucking telling me? They're so good with the thick.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I found out about it because one of Ben's, like, I think his fourth grade teacher was from Baltimore, and she brought burger.
Was she white?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a white thing. Maybe they call it because black people, we ain't got time to be naming shit. We just got to eat and go.
You go to Pollock Hot Dogs, that. Whatever the fuck it's called.
On Gay Street. We were always on Gay Street. And this is funny thing. When I think about it as I'm old, I'm like, we were on Gay Street, and my grandmother would make us hustle out Bible tracts.
Really? No way.
That was worse than barking on the streets.
So is this
for comedy? I'm telling you. Like, and she'd be like, and this is the thing. If you don't hustle them tracts and save them people, then people gonna go to hell because you didn't tell them about the Lord. And I'd be like, scared to like. And nobody wants to hear the shit.
Right. But wait, is this Baptist? Or what is this?
Well, we were non-denominational, but my grandmother was insistent on being very Baptist. Very like Holy Ghost.
Right.
Slapping you down with the oil. Right. You know what I mean? Like you come in with a dry hairdo, you leave with a Jerry curl.
Right.
I mean, like they were pushing you down in the ground. I remember the time I had to speak in tongues.
Oh, yeah.
And... And this is like when we were teenagers, and I remember in Living Color was on, and Martin, and they did a back to back where Martin, then the Living Color. And so we'd be rushed. We would hate to do evening service because it meant we would miss one. So I was like, if all I got to do to get out of here is speak in tongues, let me. And so I remember going humming and shumming and shumming and shumming and shumming and shumming and dropping it down. They were like, oh, the baby's black. Like, yeah. And so I was like, I ain't missing Martin.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So humming and shumming and numming hum num.
Yeah. Okay. Damn, Gina.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Okay. So your mother's audio, whatever, engineering.
Yes. Audio video engineer. And she also worked for several radio stations across the country, top 40 stations.
When you guys were in Baltimore or Aberdeen?
Yeah. So when she took a break from college and she had me and fell in love and all that, she went back to school. And she
What's your father like?
My father's a charmer.
Really?
A ladies' man.
Right.
A douche.
My father is... I want to say this
as respectfully as I can because
I love my dad, but my dad, my goofy side is my dad. My dad never grows up.
Right.
And my mother's very funny, but she's very serious. Right, she can get serious and she can turn it on and turn it off.
Yeah, but that's a good combination to have.
I'm a combination of both of them. So I have that whole, my father was a very handsome guy. I mean, now he has to Photoshop his teeth in, but because what happens with these pretty boys is they be looking fine and then they get older and it's like, oh my god, have you seen Albie Shore? He's got he looks like Lemony Snicket's, and I'm like, what is going on? Because you can't be pretty forever.
And I tell my kids, you better fucking floss, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, you have to be on top of it.
And they, yeah, all right. So then why? So you moved to LA, right? When you were like 14, 15.
I moved to LA when I was 15 and a half, going on 16.
Okay, and why did you move to LA?
I was not having a good time in school. And the options...
And when you were in school, as the only black person, another black kid came in after you, right?
Yes.
And you...
There would be constantly, they come and they leave. They leave.
Because they couldn't handle it.
Yeah. The only one that stuck it out with me is Danielle. She was a grade behind me.
And you sort of took her under your wing.
Well, that was Denise I took under my wing.
Uh-huh. Who did they all have D names?
Pretty much, I guess. I guess Denise, Danielle. There were some... So I was in the upper middle school, high school was together.
Right.
So there were like two or three little black girls that were like in elementary school. So I didn't have any connection with them. Right. I remember the first day that... because we lived around Aberdeen Proving Ground, you had a lot of the military kids that would come in. So that would constantly change. But then it would be so crazy with the racism. These kids were like... their families are like, why would we keep these kids here with this kind of not? We gotta get these kids out of here. My family did not look at it the same way.
Right.
My grandmother, I went through a bout of depression at 12.
Ugh.
And I missed an entire week from school, and I told my grandmother I wasn't feeling well. And after that week, she says, I know there's nothing wrong with you. And whatever you're going through in that school, God has put you there for a reason.
Right.
And whatever that reason is, I'm not moved. I don't feel compelled to move you out of there. And we need to keep you there because you have a purpose. And once she said that to me, everything changed how I dealt. Right. How I dealt. Because I was, she gave me power. I was in control.
Exactly.
Right. So if there's a reason for me to be here and there's something that I need to learn, then I need to learn. It has nothing to do with anybody around me.
Right.
And then, I mean, even after that, things started. We had things like, you know, I had a very close friend of mine. I don't want to say it because I don't, for legal reasons, because it got really crazy.
Right.
His father killed his mother and then killed himself.
No,
and
then he fucking had, way. Yes,
and we were very
How
close.
How old was he?
We were maybe 11.
No fucking way. Did he have any siblings?
He had cousins, so he had to go live with his cousins and his aunt and uncle.
Oh my God, that's the worst story ever.
And we were in percussion together, and we would play all the time, and my grandmother would take him home and all kind, like, you know, we were really close. And so after that, he had to move to another school, but he was still in Maryland. And I get called into the office one day, and they asked me if I had any connection with Chris. Okay, you know, whatever. I don't want to say that. But they asked me if I had any connection with
Paul
him.
Locke Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, no, I hadn't seen him, you know, since everything. And they said, well, he says he's going to kill you.
What?
Why?
Because he had become a skinhead.
Damn. Oh, no.
No way. Because he moved with the cousins?
Or was I don't it think the family was. I just think he got into that.
Right. He had no identity.
That row. Yeah. And they were concerned, whether it was idle threats or whatever. It had been some chit chat that was going on, and then I had that conversation.
And you're 11?
Yeah, I had that conversation with my principal. Like, there was no, like, let's call
was
your parents.
Was anyone else in there?
No, they
what
just
the
told
fuck
me
is wrong with
anything.
People?
This is just what happened, right? And so I had to go back, and I had to tell my grandmother that I was scared to go to school. And
okay,
so when people ask me what they go, oh, you talk about race a lot and everything is right. It's like, you don't understand.
Hello,
that's
my identity fuck face.
Yeah.
You know what? It's because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want
to
deal with it.
But
that's what
I get deal with
shit like that
very
all the time.
Early.
Yeah.
That people don't understand. I lost my innocence with all this sugarcoating shit at an early age.
So did you ever come in contact with that kid?
I didn't, thank God. But that wasn't the only
did
incident.
Did you ever look him up on Facebook
or
anything?
No, we didn't have technology like that.
No,
during
I
that
mean
time.
Now.
Right. No, no.
Any interest in?
No, no.
Wow. That's fucking scary. So then did you go home and tell your parent? Well, your grandmother
I
and
did.
Your mother and your grandpa?
You know, obviously everybody's concerned and they want to know where he is. I mean, I think it was as irresponsible as I think it was for my principal to have that conversation with me as a kid in the office, just him and I.
Yeah,
they did.
For sure.
It was like people, they investigated and people knew because it was conversation that had been heard from other children that he was saying that and this was going down. So they didn't take it lightly, but it was sort of like, if you still have any connection with him, you might want to lose it. You know,
right?
That
it
was
a warning.
Warning, right?
But
that
he
was
probably was like, you were the closest thing to him when that happened, and that's probably why he was like,
oh, there's
layers
here. That is so fucked up, and that is one of the
horrible.
Scariest things I've
and
ever heard.
And you're 11? Did you
I'm
even
like
fucking 11, sleep?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have never never slept.
But you know the weird thing about my family is my grandmother was, by this time, she was so spirit. I want to say this, and not to say that I don't believe in the power of prayer. We had there was such an innocence to me that right. That's not here. Like now, because I have seen so many things where like God was so physical to me that I was like, God's gonna protect me. Right. Like there was no fear because it's like, well, God's here. He's right here, and he's something that's going to appear.
Right.
Like he's going to quantum leap in front of me if something happens. So I never, while I was concerned and I did, was kind of like uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm like, there's no way that he's going to do anything to me because God's just not going to allow it. And I have a purpose and a call on my life. So if you, when, that's why when people get involved in religion and they have, and they're very into their religion and they believe all of that, they do these things that we look at and go, how could you do that?
Right.
That, or, you know, and oh, somebody said, I heard a voice, kill all the people. They get, you get, you believe that thing. And other people on the outside going, what are you, you know, it's like Beautiful Mind when he has this whole world, spoiler alert. And then when you finally see
no one's seen that movie. So it's good.
when they peel back the layers, you go, oh, this motherfucker the whole time, oh, none of these people we saw were real. You know what I mean? So that's sort of like was my life.
So you moved to California. Did your mother move for a job or just to get the fuck out of there?
My mother had this is, and this is where the part of the story happens where my grandmother is my mother and my grandfather is my father.
Okay.
Because my mother is very talented. She's one of the reasons why I'm in comedy. She's always like, she has something in her mind. She's going to do it. She's going to do it. You know? And I'm constantly telling my mother, because as you get older as a woman, I think you lose confidence, right? And not to say that my mother doesn't have any confidence, but I think as you get older and the world starts telling you, you go, no, no, no. And I tell my mother all the time, I'm like, you know, even last night when she saw me on Jimmy and she's like, oh my God, it's, I would have been like this. I'm like, no, you wouldn't. I'm like, the reason why I'm so fearless and I do the things that I do is because I'm mimicking what I saw you do, right? I saw you being a fearless woman, so don't tell me you couldn't, you would have done that.
And it's like, not about her.
Right. But what she's saying to me is she's saying like, wow, my daughter did this amazing thing. And I'm like, I didn't do this amazing thing out of nowhere. You're my mother who I watched do amazing things. And now I'm doing fearless shit.
You know what my mother said to me when I did the first time I did the Tonight Show? Okay, ready? This is the message I get. So, I watched. They have, I mean, how many commercials? They had so many commercials. I don't understand it. It was very good. But the and I was like, you know, it's like, I can't even get, like, she's like, oh, there's so many. I mean, you got to wait. It was on at the end. And I was like, okay, thanks. Let me go fucking take some more antidepressants.
Okay.
All right.
I totally get that.
Jude, it's very good, but the amount of commercials they have.
Can you talk to them about
and
that?
And it's always like, I stayed up late. I sacrificed for you. You know. All right. So go ahead.
I understand that. My grandmother used to say to me, when I did Last Comic Standing, she's like, and you keep talking about underneath your clothes. Because she won't say like vagina or penis. And people, you know, and you know they're going to look back at me and go, where was she raised? Who raised
her? It's always about them. Isn't it?
My grandmother told me one time, we were at Golden Corral. They love Golden Corral because they ain't shit to do in Maryland. Right. I love Maryland, but they ain't shit to, you get dressed up to go to Walmart and Golden Corral.
Right.
And we're putting our stuff on the plate and everything. And my grandmother said, and it was around my birthday, and she said, oh my God, I told the Lord the other day, I said, thank God she made it. Thank God she made it. And I said, what do you mean, thank God I made it? Well, you know, you could have been dead. And I remember I said it to her. Yes. I was just like this. I said, Grandma, I didn't grow up a black boy.
Exactly. Oh. And I'm not driving a car.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really thought I could have been dead for what? I'm not even in gangs. Like, I'm in gangs. I'm running the street. I'm pretty. Well,
she's also obsessed with death a little bit, sounds like.
Well, she was. Yeah. She was, you know,
she's like,
definitely.
I picked out your coffin stuff just in case, but I'm glad you're still alive.
They love a good funeral.
So,
and a mortuary picture.
All right.
when they rustled my great grandmother up to take a picture in front of the tombstone where her husband was laying that had her first name and her date of birth carved in, but not the date of death.
That is mental. Okay. So you go to.
And she just sitting there grinning and cheesing. I'm like, does she even know what the fuck is going on? Because this is a before and after picture happening here.
Oh, yeah. She knows exactly what's going on, it sounds like.
All the kids are around her wearing white. I'm like, is he dead now?
Yeah. She's hysterical.
Okay. So when. How old were you
but
when
she won't say penis. Sorry. Okay.
Underneath your clothes. Yeah.
Okay, VP.
Sorry, Grandma's lawyer.
That's voice probation. That's shut the fuck up. No, to her, him, not you. Wait, so when did your grandparents become ministers?
So my grandparents owned a nightclub called Strawberry Hill. And my mother DJed, my uncle was the bouncer, and my aunt and my grandmother were behind the bar. And
did you hang out there?
I was up in the attic being babysat by my irresponsible cousin who was barely paid. The amount of
times were you?
I was a baby until I could crawl and walk, the amount of times I would make it downstairs and be like, there's a baby on the dance floor. Because whoever was watching me be on the phone, not paying attention, and I was like,
what was it called? Strawberry
Hill. And I would be in the bar. They got a lot of citations because we were a family. You know, we went together and they would do, my mother would talk about, they would do a caravan at night with the money and go and all that stuff. And they would have like three different cars and stuff. Yeah. And everybody had to carry a piece. And my mother talks about having a gun pull out on her and trying to, and they ride.
Yeah,
my
that's grandfather what they had to did, pull a gun.
It was like crazy. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
they
like
dealt
nuts.
In cash and then they had to go deposit it immediately in those deposit things.
They found their thrill.
Yeah.
So
on Strawberry Hill. Yeah.
VP me.
I'm VP too.
So fucking annoying. So wait. So was it packed all the time?
Yeah, it was. Let me tell you something. My grandparents, my family
so
in general,
great.
We did everything to the extreme. We party hard, which is why when I'm on stage, I like to party and have a good time. I come from a party. I'm a late night person. I like to do all of that.
What kind of music did they play?
Everything, you know, whatever was happening in the 80s and like, you know, maybe some Earth, Wind & Fire and like, you know, all
my
that.
Favorite.
Yeah. And Parliament Funkadelics and all of that. And, you know,
Michael Jackson.
And Michael Jackson. Yeah, they was just like, my mother DJed, you know, and she scratched and she did a thing and her name was Mickey Moore. And he used to call her Eminem. Eminem.
Whoa, Mickey Moore. Eminem.
Yeah, Mickey Moore. And out here, you know. And my mother hates that I didn't pick up any ear quality from her.
Right.
Because she's the type of person you get in a car with her and she's like, when I used to drive her around places and stuff, she'd be like, is this how your radio, this, do you fix this? Right. And I'm like, nobody knows audio like you do. Right. Like, I don't know. There's a bass is up too high to treble that. I'm like, Mom, just do whatever you want. I don't care.
Sound engineers are the most annoying people. They're like, do you hear something? No, nobody does. It's you. You hear everything.
Actually, you're the most annoying person ever. Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I won't take it to heart. I won't take it to heart. Right.
Thank you.
I'm the host. Go ahead.
Love you too. Come on.
You are the host.
All right. So they become ministers after they were they religious when they were doing the
Well, you know, they
strawberry?
Grew up in the South. They grew up in the South, so they were, you know, they had that background.
Right.
My father's mother, who would watch me from time to time, she was very, very religious. So when I would be with her on Sundays, I'd go to church, and then I got interested in wanting to do more activities at the church.
Right.
And I decided I wanted to join the usher board. Mm-hmm. So we had a big thing where everybody came out to see me usher for the first time.
Oh, my God. I love
and
that. What'd you wear?
You had a white uniform, and the only thing we would change is, like, our hats. We would have, like, these little, like... I don't, you know, those like little army hats that kind of like pill with like little things like that. And then we have our gloves and those would change color. So we would have our burgundy or we have our gold.
Oh, that's so
great. We have green. And so the day when I started mine, I think it was burgundy. So I had my like, and I was so excited about.
What was the name of the church?
Christian Memorial Church in Baltimore on North Avenue. And I brushed my hair back in a bun and I felt so grown because I got to use bobby pins to pin it into my hat to my head. And I was just, and we would mark, and we do like the ushers had their own time during offering after everybody put their offering in. We would march around, we put one arm behind, and we just marching like that.
Onward.
And
they
put the little kids up front, so you be front and you just be marching and stuff. So, I my grandparents, my mother's parents, came to see me. And they, when they came to see me this day, and this is my grandfather preaches about this a lot. he was actively still doing the nightclub, a heavy drinker, right. But not abusive, not like alcoholic, but always like Ned got the beer. We had a Winnebago when we go down, right. Go down south. He would have all the liquor and they couldn't wait and they popping coolers and this and that.
Right.
And he said he heard the voice of the Lord while he was in church, and he said, God told him he's not going to drink again and he's going to be in the ministry. That's what he heard. And he told my grandmother that. And my grandmother, he preaches because he said, I think it's Sarah in the Bible, laugh when God told her that she would have a child because she was
99.
Yeah.
She was 99.
He preaches that message about my grandmother because when he turned and said that to her, she laughed and said, you doing this too quick. Right. We just came for one thing and all of a sudden, 90, you know, and so.
We're still hungover.
Yeah, right. But basically, and my grandfather was in a motorcycle gang. Like they was about it, you know. And so she was like, no, and he never picked up a drink after that.
Wow.
Never. He went to the altar when they did the altar call for salvation. He went there, they went down, they prayed, never had a drink after. And
was
watching
your grandmother
him
like oh, this is boring.
No, my grandmother and my grandfather had known each other since they were like 5 or 6 years old. They were pretty much kind of destined to be together. And my grandmother was a very supportive wife and she loved her husband. And my grandmother was always had that spiritual tone. So I think she was just ready for him to kind of get his shit together and come on board. So we just had alcohol in the house that wasn't touched. And I remember I got a Snoopy snow cone machine one Christmas.
Right.
And I ran out of the liquid.
So you put the alcohol
in? I put the alcohol. And what was happening, the kids were in the neighborhood was drunk. And they were trying to figure out who was giving, and it didn't dawn on me that this is alcohol, right? It's just like, oh, this is more stuff I can put in until we get more packets from Toys R Us, you know, like that's
right.
All. Mother's knocking around trying to figure like what kid, and so I'm sitting there still churning up stuff and doing my thing, and my grandfather said, "What are you putting in these snow cones? Cause ain't you out of like liquid and stuff?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I went and got the stuff down in the basement. You know, I'm like, I put all like your juices and stuff in it." He's like, "Fool!" My grandfather always said, because it was so obvious to him that I didn't get it.
Right.
As much as smart as I was, I had a lot of like dunderhead moments where I was just walking into shit. Like, they thought I was running away from home a lot. Like, they would check on me at night and I wouldn't be in my bed. And so my grandfather did this thing where he would be by my door. He was by my door one night to hear like if I was moving around. And he heard me moving out. And what I would do is the roof was connected to my room. And I would walk out onto the roof and I would read books by the moonlight. He was like, "We thought you fool. We thought you was out here getting your groove on
and getting your neighborhood drunk.
And you out here reading books by the moonlight." Like, so I was such a goofball. Funny. But I was always doing stupid shit. But like,
that's
you
an
know,
adventurous innocence.
Innocently, I would be doing
that. Okay, you're talking too much. Now, okay, so then why do you move
to
LA?
This is all boring for you.
This is not boring.
Shut the fuck up. Is this boring, Seth?
No, I have young children. I don't sleep. Yeah. I haven't slept in days either. I feel for you.
Oh, well, great. You have a great audience. Well, but I promise you it's not boring. I have slept,
I know.
And the audience is thoroughly enjoying it.
But I am following and I am interested. It's good. It's not,
shut up.
Yeah. But despite you, I mean, Hennessy's really carrying this show, this episode.
Are you kidding?
Kinda.
Okay. Listen, you fucking asshole. All right. So then why'd you move to L.A.?
So the final year that I was at Hartford Christian, this is the school I went to.
Yeah, me too.
You went to Hartford Christian?
I'm not true.
Oh, right. You see how stupid, like sometimes I go, I'm so naive. I believe everything that people say to me, as rough as people think I am. I'm like, oh, really?
No.
The final year that was at Hartford Christian, there was, we shared lockers this is like 10th grade.
Right.
And, I share with this other boy. I can say his name because it was no criminal thing. Joe Thibodeau, who was like 1,000 pounds, and he would leave all his lunch.
Joe Thibodeau,
and he would leave his lunches.
Look him up
at the top.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I never thought about looking his fan ass up.
Go ahead.
But whatever. He was bullied a lot, so I kind of was like friends with him too.
Right.
But he got on my nerves, and we shared locker, and he had all his stuff, and he would leave all these like sandwiches and stuff, and I would be like, "Come on, Joe, like come eat this shit, like you know, like."
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't say shit, but you know. And so one day I went to my locker and somebody had spray painted nigger on my locker.
Oh, my God.
And man. I remember, this is so funny because I was like, and everybody's like, and I said, oh my God, Joe, look what they did to you. I was like, why would they say that to you? And like, I started taking all this stuff right. and just like going, what the, who gives a fuck? Right. It's so stupid. And
that's a hack.
When it came out that all this stuff had happened and who was connected, I can't, right. I won't say because then they'll be like, because I've now I've said the school, they'll be like, well, right. we, you said I did. But when it came back, that it was somebody on staff's child that had done that with some other kids.
No way.
And that at the same time, they decided it was okay for them to wear these black jackets that they had sewn the Confederate flag on.
What the fuck?
Everybody was like, yeah, we're going to, here's your options. You right. can go to a boarding school in Troy, New York, which was a Christian boarding school. Right. And I wasn't happy about doing that because right. it was like, can't have posters up. You can't. And I didn't want to be away
oh,
from my family.
That shit. Yeah.
Or my mother said, you know, I was very much into theater. And I had was doing theater workshops and stuff right. on the side outside of school and drama and things. And she said, you know, you can try to go to LaGuardia in New York and we can yeah. see what relative lives out there and see if you can get in. Or I think that there might be a school like LaGuardia in LA. And my mother was living in LA at the time.
Right.
And you can come out here and live with me. And so they had a Los Angeles County High School for the Arts.
Right.
And this was, it was a 3-year program. So they had sophomore, junior, and senior. But it was hard to get in as a junior, and it's impossible to get in as a senior because they want you to go through the training.
Right.
So they had a final audition. It's like my fucking life is a movie. And it's like, I don't know, God tests me all the time because I'm always in like the worst disaster. Right. And then like somehow miraculously I make it through. It's like every day is a lifetime episode. they had the final audition for theater. They had 300 kids, about 300 kids that were auditioning for one slot.
What?
One slot. And I was coming in as a right. junior, and I right. was coming from parochial school. So when I remember having my, I did Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe.
That was the first opening monologue.
No, of course not. I was upset. Right. So I was like, I had that. And then I did a monologue from Raising the Sun just to be versatile. Even at that age, I knew, give yeah. him a little bit of show.
Yeah.
So I went in with my pieces. And I remember that they brought kids in, I think, by like tens.
Right.
So they would get you from the big group and they would bring you from tens and they would line us up in the hallway. And as somebody was about to go in, they were saying stuff. And I didn't know what was the conversation was being said. But when I got up to the front of the line, it was like, OK, so you're going to go in and you're going to do your monologues and then they're going to speak to you. Just a note, there's a teacher in there that has his eye. He's, you know, cockeyed. He has an eye that right. looks like he's not looking at you, but he's looking at you. So don't let that bother you because some people have gotten uncomfortable and whatever. Right. So I went in and I did the pieces and everything. And so they started grilling me about my school. They were like, well, you know, how are you going to be comfortable doing roles that are like, because you have a very Christian background right. and you took Bible 1 and Bible right. 2, like we have Bible classes, you know.
Hello, it's a Christian school, you right. fucking idiot.
But they're also like, to them, that's a waste of time when I could have right. been taking something else. And they, because right. We also have to take high school curriculum there. Right. So it's like, you know, and how are you going to fit in and the whole thing? Right. And I remember I had this little mushroom. This little mushroom top and right. this like churchy dress, so I look like Anna Green Gables, you right. know, plus size, and then you know, fat Anna Green Gables. And I said I'll be fine. I said I think I can, you know, I love, you know, theater, and I'm interested in, like, you know, owning a theater one day. And I was right. just so excited about that world right. and it was so open for me to do whatever I want and play
right.
And of course they ask you, do you have any questions after? And I said, you know, I don't have any questions. I said, but, you know, I just want to say, you know, as the only black teacher in here, you didn't look at me one time and it was like I was giving you, I thought I was doing well, and it was like you just were kind of dismissive. And I have no fucking idea why
that,
I said that.
Was that the cockeyed
that
one?
That was the cockeyed guy. And I have no, to this day, I cannot tell you. It's the same thing that came over me in that moment is the right. same thing that comes over me
Wait
on stage
minute.
When I dig into somebody's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
I say to myself, don't say this to the person, and then I just say it.
Right.
And I have no idea why I would even think
so
to challenge him.
So you said, why the fuck didn't you?
Well, I say, why the fuck, but I said, I just felt like as the only, you know, the only black teacher in here, and you kind of were dismissive to me. You didn't really look at me, and I wanted to know, is this something that I did? And he right. said, I am looking at you, as he was looking this way. And I said, I forgot.
Just like that.
Like that. And I was dead. And I remember they just sat there and they looked at me and they said, okay, well, you know, there's no more questions. We'll let you know. You should know in a couple of weeks. And I walked out. My mother, when I came, she was like, I know you did, my baby. My baby, you did it. Your star.
Right.
And I was like, yeah. And I was so uncomfortable the rest of my time with my mother in L.A. because I was like,
did you tell her?
I didn't tell her anything. Are you crazy? I was like,
were you freaking
out? One slot for 300 kids.
Right.
The chances that I'm going to get it is zipping you anyway. But she was so, she just knew her baby. And I said, absolutely. And myself, I'm like, no. But I'm like, yeah, mom's like, well, you know, it's 300 slots. And, you know, we'll see. And I kid you not, the day that we had heard nothing, and I wasn't expecting anything, so I was packing my shit to go back up to Maryland and deal with this bullshit of, like, now having to go to this boarding school because I ain't going back to Hartford Christian, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're going, and my mother says, and she's taking me to the airport, because we hadn't heard anything. My mother's still, I'm like, wait, we never know. I'm going to follow up with them on Monday and see what's going on.
Right.
And then you, I bet you, I'm telling you, you going to come back, and you's gonna, we going to live here, and and I said, whatever. And my mom said, let me check the mail and I'm before I take it to them. And my fucking acceptance letter was in there.
No way!
And then my first day, I go in and the teacher was Mr. Butler. And I went in
the
one? Yeah. And I didn't want to look at him at all. I was like, you know, whatever, like I'm trying to act like whatever. And he's and we were doing, he did voice and diction and he did stage movement, right? So it was a lot of movement and it was a lot of like ways I could like not look at him. And so he pulls me to the side and he says, you know what? He says, Miss Saunders, come here, I want to talk to you for a second. And so I was like, fuck, like this guy's gonna like, is he gonna kick me out now? And then I have to tell my mother like, the story the whole day. Like, what are you doing? How'd you get here? And I said, I'm so sorry again, like, and thank you, and I'm so humble. And thank you. Yeah. He said, you know what? He said, you know, we only had one slot for 300 kids that we saw over 300 kids that day. And he said, you know why you stood out? Because you were the only one that fought for what you thought was great performances and said something. And we were like, well, this kid's really gutsy and she really believes in herself. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, like, wow, that's really great because I wasn't gutsy.
Right,
like, I did that despite myself.
Right.
And it wasn't some premeditated diva move.
Right.
It was just something that happened. And it was just so beautiful that that had kind of come together that
way. I love that.
They must, I mean, acting teachers are so good at seeing through your soul, you know?
Oh, like, God. You know, some of them are just doing it because they're fucking mental.
That's true, but the school she went to is like
renowned. You went to a great school, but I'm just saying there are
moments.
Acting teachers
did
who
they had a couple of scandals that happened on some shit.
Can you shut up?
It's a season for scandal.
No, but I'm just saying. Like,
we had this exercise called 4-on-1 that got a little dicey sometimes.
But
It's you lie down and you have somebody do you. They people take a part of your body. It's a way for you to be comfortable and relax.
Oh, sure.
With your so you have to completely give and it's about not giggling and not being squirmy.
Oh, right.
And then it's I allegedly there was some things that maybe went beyond in other aspects of taking that to another thing.
Right.
But my time there
you
was
mean under
pure.
Your clothes?
No, my time was very pure and genuine there, and I went crazy when I went there because that was my first time of real freedom, and I was doing everything. I was wearing all this crazy makeup and got real punk and then went emo, and like they used to call me Pebbles because I would like throw my hair up and then have this little thing here, and like I went nuts. Love and it. I was very creative, and I was with people who were creative and did not give a fuck. And that's why when I'm on stage, it's like I'm so grateful for my theater background, because it's like when I tell you I was working with kids who would completely drain their who they were and be very vulnerable, and we would be so vulnerable and raw and open with people, and that's how we loved each other so much because of that. And it was such a different thing from me being tied up and being judged because of the color of my skin and having all these insults.
Were there a lot of other people of color in the school?
It was a lot. It was, and like, you, it, I, let me tell you something. We had it, we had high school classes there, so right. we had Professor Fonseca, who was great to me, and one of my counselors there, got me into one of these English classes there, and I was very narrow and conservative right. in my mind, and I would say things that were so restrictive that I was saying stuff that, you know, I was like, don't eat meat, you know, right. you have to eat meat. And then people were like vegetarian. I'm like, that's a, don't you have to eat meat. God's telling you, you have to eat meat. You have to, it was so many things. And so I would also have like my little friends that right, I talked right, to. Right. So, my teacher at the time told me, he says, I'm going to separate you from your friends. Cause we were kind of divided right. in our class from side to side. And he put me over with all the LGBT, right?
Yeah.
And all the vegetarians and don't right. do the, and like the earthy
the
and this.
Yeah,
and
no, I was no shaving,
so
yeah.
far from them, like
hairy
mentally
armpits, yeah.
that once I got into that space and I realized, I'm like, wow, my mind's really narrow. And I opened up to that. That's what keeps me, when people ask me and they say you're a Christian but you have friends who are gay and lesbian, it's, I'm like, I cannot imagine closing myself off to loving people and getting involved
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah, but do you feel like we need to be saved?
As a people, yeah, I think everybody needs to be saved.
But
that's
not,
everybody.
No, as LGBTQ or STUVs.
I know LGBTQ Christians.
Yeah, but
I mean, I think everybody needs to be saved that don't believe in the Lord.
Right. Oh, okay. So, like, if you see an atheist, what do you think?
They better believe in the Lord.
Or they're
so you're
or
asking me in
happen?
The context. Do I say to you, you're God's never going to love you. You're never going to make it to heaven because you're a lesbian or you're gay. I'm never going to say that.
Right.
Do I come from a church that says that? And do I understand that's what's being said? Absolutely. Right. But I know a lot of different layers of Christians who will say, I hate you because you're lesbian
right.
and gay.
But that's so un-Christian.
Sure.
To hate.
But
yeah.
I think here's the frustration for me, because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in the middle, right? I feel like there's a lot of friends
well,
of mine.
It's because you see both sides.
Right.
Yeah.
I see both
yeah,
sides.
Well, yeah.
I understand both sides. But I think that there's a lot of extremes on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that for me, when I talk to a friend of mine who's LGBTQ and
STUV
through Z.
ABCD.
And they say to me, yeah. I can't have a relationship with God because he hates me. And I say, who told you that?
Right.
And they say, well, that's what they say over there. I said, but have you talked to God for yourself?
Right.
I don't believe in being a mouthpiece for God, because God talks to me.
Right.
And I feel him and he speaks to me. So who am I to tell somebody what God said?
Right. I mean, I'm a practicing
Buddha called
Jew.
It Samsara, the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Here's an example where I'm having a fucking connection and you go on to fucking Buddha shit, okay?
It was the same. It's
no,
I'm talking about the same thing.
I understand. But what I'm talking about is that it's called Kill Me Now with Judy Gold.
It is.
And Judy Gold was about to say something to Yamanika and you go off on, this is what the Buddha says. Okay, save it. Anyway, VP.
It's a VP!
So,
I live in a city.
But no, I'm just saying, as a practicing Jew, like I'm a
yeah.
Jew, and you know, there are so many people who are LGBTQ or STUV who feel like they can't be Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and you know, LGBT, you know, like I mean, it's really sad because you can be who you fucking are.
The problem for me comes in when people tell me that I'm not bearing a witness of God and Christianity because I'm allowing my LGBTQ friends to be LGBTQ.
What are we? Yeah.
Right.
Like Jesus.
And what I've said 1,000 times is don't tell me what I'm doing.
Right.
Number one.
Worry about yourself.
And I always worry about me. I want people to love, selfishly, I want people to love Jesus and have a connection with him. And I believe that if you believe that he is the way and the truth and the light, you will be saved. All this other stuff that people are bringing in and qualifiers don't concern me. That's between you and God. And okay, if everybody minds
Jew,
their business,
and
I know, but you and I
mentioned Jesus.
But you and I have a different, Jesus. Like this is religion to religion now,
right?
This is not whether you're gay, straight, or
no, but
all
I'm
this
saying,
other stuff.
But I don't believe. I mean, I believe Jesus existed, and he was a prophet,
right?
And, you know, a teacher, and you know, but I don't believe he was the Messiah. I mean, that's what we don't.
But that so our argument would have nothing to do with whether you were lesbian or gay, you know,
right,
at
no,
all.
No, I'm
yeah.
just saying that. Do you feel like Jews?
Oh, you're trying to get me to kill my career? Absolutely not. Jews can do whatever the fuck they want to do. Them, the gays, and now women. Me too, girl. Yeah. Me too.
Hashtag Jews.
See, Jews are exempt because they're already the chosen people.
Right.
By God. So
that's what they told you. But let's really start digging in Leviticus. Look at how serious Judy got. You take it very serious. Your eyes got so
no,
wide.
You know what? I get really upset because anti-Semitism is so prevalent right now. And it's so, like, I mean, you talk about growing up
yeah.
as the only black. I mean, we got to my town, which was so racist mm-hmm. and so anti-Semitic. Like, we had swastikas on our house when we moved there. They had a KKK. Like,
yeah.
it's just... And my mother was always like, they hate us. Everyone hates us. They all hate us. Everyone hates us. You know, and I was like, Ma, let me just do a couple Jew bells. You know, no, they don't. No, they don't. And they do. They do. It's so fucking... And now it's, like, even worse than ever.
Yeah. You know, I always say that... black issues are very important to me because I'm black and I have to navigate through this
right.
world as a black person. So when white people hear my act or hear something when I say, and it goes, oh, this race thing, it's easy for them to say, oh, this race thing, because they don't have to deal with
right,
it walking
exactly.
and navigating.
It's your truth.
It's my truth. But I do say
or
that
your truth.
Sometimes I have to remind myself,
right.
think about, while I'm still doing my thing, let's think about the other people who are doing, having problems and stuff, because
right.
you can get very into your own little thing.
Really? I've never noticed
yeah,
that.
You can forget
I
that
was
there
being
are
sarcastic.
Big worlds here.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
I understand
no,
that.
No, but see, because like I'll get people in interviews. This is so fucking annoying. That'll be like, are you more Jewish or are you more gay? I'm like, what the fuck kind of question is that? Gay is who I love.
Yeah.
I am a Jew.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
faith to faith, and
yeah.
people try to mingle all those things
it's
together.
Because like, their brain doesn't, you know, they can't figure it out. Okay.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn for part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now. No,
Judy
no.
Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.